Well, hello, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of Talks with Tori, the podcast. You are in for a treat today. My friend Maddie and I have been friends on Instagram for years. Like, we literally talk all of the time on Instagram, but this is our first actual face-to-face conversation, and I just know that y'all are going to be so blessed and encouraged by her, just as I was. She's just the sweetest. But in true Talks with Tori fashion, I just want to give you a little bit of encouragement that was actually inspired by the conversation in a verse that she shared. And that is out of Luke 1:45 that says, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And so for all of those of you, for all of you out there who are waiting on a promise of God, or you feel like God has said something to you that has not yet come to pass, this scripture is when Mary is visiting Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is talking to Mary and saying, "Mary, you are a blessed woman because you believed what God said," in terms of God telling her that she was going to have Jesus, that she was going to be pregnant with the Son of God, the Messiah. Like, how crazy is that? Can you imagine what that looked like for Mary? But she was blessed because she believed God at his word. And so I think that's so easy to be said, but it's an entirely different thing to actually walk it out, to actually walk out that kind of faith, to believe God at his word and what that means for your life today. And before we jump in, I just want to give another huge thank you to those who take the time to leave a review on this podcast. It means the world to me and just encourages me more than you know to keep going, and that these conversations are really lifting your spirits. And also for all of you out there who are watching on YouTube and you like the video, you share the video, you subscribe, and you're a part of the community. What a joy. I just love you guys. Okay. Without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with Maddie. So funny. I was literally trying to scroll up in our Instagram DMs to see when we actually first started talking on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get to the top because I was like, oh my goodness, we've talked a lot. But I found this random message because I was like scrolling.
Yeah.
And I got to a message that you sent me February 24th of 2022. And you said, "Hey, sister, I randomly had a dream about you the other day, and you've been on my heart ever since. Is there anything I can be praying for?" Do you remember this dream?
So I remember that dream. So crazy that you brought that up. I forgot about it until now. But I don't have dreams very often.
Okay.
Well, I probably do, but I just don't remember them. And something came up where we decided it was important for you to throw out all of your makeup. And I don't know why that was related or why that happened, but yeah. I just remember I was like, okay, Tori, like, you can do this. I know you spent so much money on all of this makeup.
Wow.
But I promise you, you can do it. And so we like did it together. We like brought your makeup over to the trash, threw it out. And then we were praying. It's like, it was very jumbled, but I remember that. And I was just like, wow, that was so vivid. Like, normally when I wake up and I have a dream, I'm like, oh yeah, like I remember like bits and pieces, but it was like I was right there.
Wow.
It was so interesting.
That is so funny. Yeah. Cause I remember I did ask you, but what is crazy, just kind of thinking back to that, like that month was actually when I like threw away everything in terms of quote unquote fertility stuff. And so that's the month that we got pregnant with Micah. And I threw away like all the ovulation strips, all of the, there was like different little things that you could use to like quote unquote help your ovulation. And I just felt like the Lord was like, you need to toss all of it. Cause I will be the only,
wow,
I will be the one who gets credit for this baby. And like, you will only be able to point to me. And I think it's just because I knew, and you probably know this as well, especially like walking through your journey, and I want to get into that, But like doing what we do, when you go through a season of waiting and then you do end up getting pregnant, so many people ask, well, what do you think worked? Like, what do you think it was? Like, what did you do different? And I knew if I had used ovulation strips or this or that, I'd been like, this is what worked for us. Like, here's the link. And God was like, you're not going to be able to do mm-hmm. any of that. Like, you're literally only going to be able to mm-hmm. point to me. And so it's kind of crazy now looking back at that dream and it being about makeup. But like for me in that season of life, for me, it really was like surrendering control of our fertility journey.
Yeah, that's so powerful. Wow.
Right?
That's crazy. That's crazy. And when you say that, and when we get into things, you know, the whole throwing out of the makeup was really something from my perspective. And we can get into that later, but yeah. It was something from my perspective that I was doing. So yeah. Maybe there was like, you know, that
right.
intertwined dream of like something I was doing, but also mm-hmm. like that connection with the Holy Spirit of, yeah. you know, you tossing those things.
Wait, so did you actually get rid of all your makeup?
Yeah, I have been on like a, I like to call it like a ditch and switch journey.
Yeah.
For the last 3 to almost 4 years. And right. really, that like consisted of me, you know, downloading an app that basically went, you scan the barcode on products throughout your house and mm-hmm. you figure out like what has endocrine disruptors, what's affecting your hormones, different things like that. And so
right.
I was scanning all of these things and I realized I don't wear a ton of makeup all the time.
Right.
And so my makeup lasts for a really long time. And I still mm-hmm. had makeup for like 5 years later.
Okay. And same. I didn't know that they expired. I literally learned this like 3 weeks ago that your makeup expires after like 6 to 12 months. Yeah. And I had a whole bag. Yeah. Okay, disclaimer. My girlfriend, Jess Conti, she back in LA, I'm telling you this, 5 years ago, we called it Jessora because she's a bigger influencer. She was in the beauty industry for a long time. So she would just get sent like masses on masses of product. And there was this one day that she invited my girlfriend Nina and I over and she was like, I'm literally setting up Jessora. And we walked in and she had makeup on shelves all through this like one room and it looked like a mini Sephora. And she's like, take whatever y'all want. And so we literally came with like bags and we just stuffed our bags with like all this makeup. Because I'm telling you, these makeup companies sent her like every shade. I'm like, she does not need brown makeup, okay? She's Australian.
It is the PR packages. Sometimes you're like, okay, that's just a little bit excessive.
Oh, but, so, I mean, so excessive. No, so excessive. We'll be honest. It was excessive. And so I still have this bag because I do wear makeup, but like still have the bag of stuff because I didn't makeup shop for years because of this like one day of going to Jessora because I stuffed like all this skincare and all this makeup. And when I ran out of stuff, I would just go back through this little bag. And then my girlfriend literally told me, because I did like a deep cleanse. I'm like, I got to get rid of stuff the other week. And she's like, you should go through all of like your old makeup and stuff. I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you know, it expires like 6 to 12. I was like, I did not know that. And so
So that's why all my skin has been breaking out. That's why I've been so oily. You know, it's
crazy, crazy. I was like, I feel so naive. Like, how did I not know this? And so I got rid of so much stuff and I was like, oh, I gotta start fresh. But okay. So you did start moving things back into your life though, but you kind of like did a, like, let's clean slate it kind of thing.
Yeah. I did like a cleanse, a lot of things in my life. I think one of the big reasons at the time was that I was idolizing a lot of stuff. And so I was like, okay, I want to cleanse myself from those things that I'm idolizing, like always feeling like I need to wear makeup, always yeah. feeling like I need to be done up, have the best outfits.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's just in the world of comparison with social media, things like that. Yeah. But then it turned into like this beautiful, almost hobby. And then for a little bit, like a profession where I was, with a network marketing company that had clean skincare, clean products, and I was just ditching, switching everything, and it hasn't stopped since. And I've noticed a huge difference in like how I feel in cleaning up. I mean, that has gone down rabbit holes of like what I'm eating and how I'm taking care of myself in other ways, but ultimately it has been huge, just really limiting the toxins that are in my daily products.
No, it's so smart. And it's something that Chad and I continually talk about, and we'll go through the process, I feel like, very slowly. Like, I don't feel like we ever got the gumption to just go full blown all out everything, but like down to like dishwashing detergent and like what we're using in our laundry. And I try to use a little bit more, like, definitely clean skincare. I feel like I became more passionate about that in pregnancy, especially. And so I've just stayed very clean skincare since pregnancy, and now pregnant again. And so I feel like that's definitely helped a lot. But my skin has gone through so many changes. But I do feel like when we move, I am not bringing anything with us that is toxic. And I think that will be like our clean slate, where it's like nothing can come into the new house that is not just pure, you know? So I feel like I need to get a lot of advice from you, because honestly, this is something I want to talk to you about too. I feel like you post with such authority, and it's something that I feel like, I was talking about this the other day with a friend, but like, being newly in motherhood, sometimes I get very cautious about sharing things about motherhood out of the, like, I'm still figuring it out, you know? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know the answers, you know? And maybe that comes from, and I would love for you to share, that I'm not like your typical researcher girl, you know, where like, I feel like you love research just from like an outside perspective. Of seeing the things that you post and everything else. And I feel like I go to your page because I'm like, she loves to research, so let me see her findings on certain things. But also, just where do you feel like the Lord really has given you that confidence to share on intentional motherhood as such a new mom? Because I don't know, maybe it's like this insecurity in me. I don't know, where I'm like, well, moms that have been, you know, five children, you know, who am I to give them advice? Like, I still feel like I'm so new and trying to survive. And so, yeah, I'd love for you to speak into that for a sec.
Yeah, that's great, great questions. First, it's like all glory to God. The Holy Spirit, like, since I've really started developing and understanding a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I truly believe that silencing the noise can help strengthen that. So the noise of just anything that's outside of Him. And so for me, I'm really passionate about intentional motherhood. And what intentional motherhood is to me is it's basically really bringing light to the fact that intentionality within motherhood is not a one size fits all. But it's still so important that we share what we're navigating in different seasons. I think that's even outside of motherhood, in sisterhood, in friendships, in just life in general. I think it's so important that we share, right? It's kind of like, I like to compare it to your faith journey, right? You don't have to have all the answers to tell somebody about Jesus.
So true.
You just, if you feel called to share something, you share it. And if they have questions that you don't know how to answer, you're like, hey, like, let me seek counsel on that. Let me pray about that. Let's pray about that
Together.
together. Let's find a solution together. And or it's like you being humble enough to, if your perspective does change over time as your faith grows or as you continue on your journey through motherhood, you share how your perspective has changed. I think in a lot of different areas in life, we feel like we have to have it all figured out in order for us to use our voice.
So
And
true.
That is a lie from the enemy. That is a tactic he uses to keep us silent. And it like makes me emotional because it's like, I allowed him to do that to me for so long. And then I started sharing. And, you know, initially when I started sharing, I really wasn't getting any feedback. So I remember going to my husband and saying, you know, I just really don't feel like any of this is making a difference. I don't feel like this resonates with anybody. And he said, just because you're not getting feedback does not mean it's not resonating. You know, just because, and comparing that to a walk with the Lord again, you know, just because you share about Jesus to somebody and they don't maybe come to know the Lord in that moment, that does not mean that a seed hasn't been planted. And I truly believe that it's our job to plant the seed and for him to water it. And, so I just feel like through my journey of intentionality, I share things, but I'm also, I humble myself. One thing that recently happened was the situation with formula, you know, that I reached out to you for guidance on, because I was like, wow, I used to look at moms and think, oh, you must not have tried hard enough. Right. Like, how hard could it really be? And then I became a mother, you know, and motherhood is just humbling in itself, but
in so many ways.
Like, oh
yeah.
Yeah. Breastfeeding is no joke. And I humbled myself to share how my perspective had changed on deciding to turn to formula.
It's
there
hard.
There were just so many reasons for that. And I'm currently just supplementing with it, but that was a huge hit at my pride and as a mother. And I remember it just weighing on me. And then I remember you sharing in the past when we were chatting, you sharing how much peace it brought you to make that switch. And I just, that you were in my mind, and it's because you were willing to share that, you know, and that is what popped into my head when I was making the decision.
Yeah. And I think it's tough, right? Like, I think really before motherhood, it is so easy to be like, I'm not going to be that kind of mom. I'm not going to do this thing. I'm going to breastfeed for this long, like until my kid is this old. And you just have these like preconceived notions. And I think the issue with that is making that plan, that's not inviting the Holy Spirit to lead you moment by moment. Like, when we make these assumptions and these plans, and it's almost like setting us up for failure in a way where it's like, man, I was so tough on myself when, like, why is this not working? I literally called one boob the slacker boob. I'm like, can you step up your game, boob? I was like so upset with my one boob.
Get it together.
Because Micah like hated this one boob and he just wanted the other side. And so we tried chiropractic. We tried to like make sure like it wasn't like a neck thing. He uncomfortable. Was it a supply thing? All the things, right? You try all the things, and genuinely, he probably just liked the flow of the other boob better, right? And so I would like genuinely get mad at my body, and it's just why. I mean, granted, this one boob was getting three times the size of the other, so like there was that. I was like, okay.
I know how that goes, sister.
Okay. sorry. We're coming into summer. You can see it in my tank tops. Yeah. Like, this is not
They
cute.
Don't make bras for that.
They don't. I'm like, am I going to have to stuff this side of my bra with a sock? Like, what is happening right now? And goodness, it also, breastfeeding was always tough because I shared this with you, but Micah had tummy issues and I wasn't sure if it was something in my diet, but like when I had gone to the doctor and asked her about diet, it was like, she wanted me to literally cut, like when I say everything, it was down to like fruit and not all fruit and meat. Cause most of the veggies were like out of the picture too. And so it was literally like fruit and meat. And for me, that just was not maintainable for me. And this was just because he had cradle cap. She was like, you should cut everything. And then I ended up going on Amazon and getting this like Frida baby cradle cap thing. And his cradle cap was gone in 2 days. And I was like, had I cut everything out of my diet and all he needed was this Frida baby soap, I would have been so upset. But I had to follow God's peace because I, for 2 days, cut everything out. And I was miserable. I like, it was so not for me, like, cause I couldn't even have coffee. Like, and I like in that season when you're not sleeping, I mean, he was only like 3 weeks old at the time. That morning cup of coffee was like probably an unhealthy amount of joy in my life. Right. Like Chad was like, I'm concerned at how much you love your morning cup of coffee. Like it was like he would bring it in the morning and I would look at that cup of coffee and he's like, I don't know if you look at me that way in this season. And I was like, Chad is at the point where he is jealous of my morning cup of coffee. Because it was just so good. But I remember being like, this is something that the doctor ordered, right? And she's a very holistic doctor and I don't feel peace about it. Like, I just don't feel peace about following it. And if you're like a rule follower, which honestly, I'm kind of not, but I didn't have peace. And so I got on Amazon. I got the Frida baby stuff. His cradle cap was gone in 2 days. And I like went on my merry way. But then he did have a little bit of colic. He did have gas. He was having some sleeping issues. And so there was so much that kind of went along with it. And then I got mastitis 2 different times. It just seemed like it kept coming back. It was really painful to the point where I tried everything holistically to get rid of the mastitis and it kept getting worse, more inflamed, to the point where I ended up having to take antibiotics so that it wouldn't get like really, really like hospital bad. And the guilt from having to take the antibiotics weighed on me because then the antibiotics mess with Micah's stomach. And it just created this entire rabbit hole of mom guilt where it's like everything I'm trying is not working. What is going on? And so I remember my friends Milena and Nava actually flew in and surprised me. Like I literally just came home from the doctor's office with mastitis for the second time. And they're sitting in my living room. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And I was like sick. I didn't feel good. And it was like my spirit went from like a 1 to an 11, like in a moment, just being able to see them. And they actually, because I remember this was when I was feeling super just mom guilt about the like taking the antibiotic or not. I was like, well, go ahead and fill this script, but I don't know if I'm going to take it or not. And I made them look at my boob. I was like, can y'all look at my boob, please? And they took one look at my boob and they were like, yeah, girl, we've had mastitis. You should probably take antibiotics. Like that is not good. Because it was like, you could really see it was bad. And so when it came to the breastfeeding journey, I remember at 2 months, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. And then We pushed through another month. And then right around 6 months, my one slacker boob just stopped. Like the milk was gone out of that boob. And so I was like, okay, I feel like I need to at least start supplementing because I don't know if this other side is like fully nourishing him. And I will say what was really crazy was he went from sleeping 2 to 3 hour stints at night. Like, and we're talking, he's 5, 6 months old. He was like every 2 to 3 hours feeding. And that's just not great sleep. You know what I mean? Just not great sleep. Mm-hmm. And the first night we tried supplementing with formula before bed, he slept for 7.5 hours. And I remember waking up and feeling like that was life-changing. What just happened? and it was just confirmation to be like, okay, like this is okay. Like he actually did really well on this and it continued. And then slowly but surely we started supplementing. And it just seemed like he kept doing better on this goat milk formula that we had to fly in from Germany than he was doing on my breast milk. And I'm like, okay. And it was kind of like disheartening because I'm like, but I'm his mom. Like, shouldn't he do better on my milk, you know? And then I remember, I think I told you this in an audio message, but goodness, how gracious the Holy Spirit is. He woke up at 3 a.m. and he had been sleeping through the night. And I'll never forget this moment because it was so special and hard. But he woke up and I went to his room to breastfeed because I was still breastfeeding at the time. And I literally felt the Holy Spirit say, hold him tight, embrace it. This is your last time. And I just held him and I cried. I was like so emotional and I embraced it. Like I was like so present in that moment. I'll never forget that night. Like I'll always forget that session of breastfeeding. And the next morning I woke up because I would normally breastfeed in the morning and the milk was gone. And I was like, wow, okay. The Holy Spirit really gave me a chance to kind of grieve it. And I think that's the beauty of like following the peace of the Holy Spirit, where it's like, he will give you those promptings and he'll lead you and guide you in those tough moments. And just that, like that mom guilt, it's not from God. You know, I think that that's the hard part of navigating it is like, why do I feel this guilt with certain things? Like, why do I feel like if I don't do this a certain way, or if I don't do this a certain way, that like I'm wrong, right? Versus what you're saying in intentional motherhood, it's like it's not a one size fits all because every baby is so different. Like we had to do certain things with Micah's sleep because he wasn't sleeping like the other babies, you know? And so we had to do this. And so, you know, it's funny, and I don't know if you feel this, but sometimes you kind of gravitate towards certain friends or certain moms who are kind of like going through the same struggles. Like,
yes,
there's one of my good friends and mentors. She just had a tougher time, like in the first couple months. And it's like, man, I would always go to her because she was open about the struggles, you know? And it's like kind of what you're talking about of having that openness to share what you're actually going through without feeling like you have to have it all together, you know?
Yeah. I think, gosh, that's so powerful. I often say, I don't know how anyone navigates life, but especially women navigating motherhood without Holy Spirit. He just brings like a peace that truly, truly surpasses any and all understanding. And that's what I've also realized in motherhood is like, you know, I pray about a decision and the Holy Spirit leads me to make a certain choice.
Right.
And guess what? Sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm being led to this decision, but what if I'm not? What if that's like me? And instead of going down the rabbit hole of worry, I'm just like, I surrender it. Mm-hmm. I know that if I make the wrong choice, you will turn it for good, you know? And because I know I am protected, and because there's so much out there in the motherhood realm. There's so many, like you said, there's so many things you can try, right? But back to what I was saying, like I pray about it and I'm led to make a certain decision for my child that the Lord might not lead
someone else,
you know, Susie down the road to do, right? And I think that's so important to remember as we're like mentoring other mamas or sharing about our experience. You know, our delivery, it's not about what we say, it's about what people hear. And so our delivery really matters when we're in a room with other moms, especially new moms that are fragile and, experiencing a lot of that mom guilt. And then, you know, just under, like, for me, it's like, I'll have women come to me that are like, I want to do a home birth. I saw how amazing yours was. And I asked them, I'm like, that's amazing. Do you genuinely feel called by the Lord to do that?
Yeah.
You know, because I think people see the highlight reels and things on social media and they're just like, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm doing. And it's like intentionality is, you know, looking at and figuring out all the options that you have as a mama,
right.
and then praying about it, making a choice and surrendering
yeah.
the rest.
And I think that goes for,
you know, and
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say it's so good in regards to motherhood, but also just in life in general. Cause I know there's a lot of listeners who might not be in like the motherhood journey, and all of this might sound a little foreign to you, but like, even when it comes to like, what college am I going to go to? Like, what job am I going to choose? Like those decisions, I look back at my life, they were not prayerfully decided. And I regret some of them. Mm-hmm. Not like I regret because God used all of it, but like, man, I always am so curious. Like, had I really been intentional with the Lord in that season and really prayed, right? Like, God, is this where you're leading me? Like, is this the place you have for me in this next season? Like, is this the friend group I should surround myself with? Is this the mentor that I should have speak into my life? Because I did not pray for what college I was going to go to. I went to the one that I was like, oh, cool. It's like the party school. It like has a great dance team. Like it's closest to home. Like it's great. Right. And it was not a prayerful decision at all because I wasn't walking intimately with Jesus. I was walking in the world. And then I look at even what job I took after college. It was not a prayerful decision that I made out of peace. It was a pressure-filled decision that I made out of desperation that I felt like I had to because graduation's coming up and like I need to make up my mind, right? And it's like, how many decisions do we make out of pressure and like outside influences that are not the Holy Spirit or what rabbit hole we're on in social media, right? Because there's so many different like rabbit holes of social media, right? It's like as soon as you start liking a certain kind of content, you can just go down a deep hole of that kind of
content. The algorithm is like, the algorithm's like, okay, here you go. Here's everything in that realm, you know?
Yes. And it can be
I often say that though. I say that to women. I'm like, when they're talking to me about, you know, different maybe areas of comparison that they're struggling with, a big thing that I've realized is I'm like, what if you just like cleansed yourself of social media? Like, what would life look like if we didn't have social media?
Yeah.
Our generation understands what part of our life looked like, but not necessarily as adults, right? Where we're making our own decisions. Mm-hmm. And social media is an idol in a lot of people's lives. It has been in my life multiple times. And I think it's just so important to really slow down and be still and think about what the root of that is.
Yeah.
You know, why do I feel like, why am I not grateful for the things that I have? Why do I feel like I need to renovate my kitchen? Like, do I feel that way because of social media? Because of maybe Pinterest and because of this influencer I follow that I really look up to and I love her kitchen? Like, and then, you know, I think if we're intentional, if we're intentional about those decisions, like we will know that we'll be humble enough to know that we can change our perspective, even if we're like in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, I want to redo this room and maybe I'm like mid redoing the room and I've got all these other plans for it, but then the Lord, you know, leads me in a different direction. Like, hey, it's time to pump the brakes. Maybe that's because there's a big bill coming up.
Yeah.
Who knows? But we're just obedient in that. Right. Like, okay, Lord, you want me to halt this or you want me to completely throw away this?
Yeah.
I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we look at those sacrifices and we think, oh, that's going to be like so heavy, like that's going to cause me too much pain, or I'm going to have fear of missing out, or I'm not going to like my environment at home. And then you realize, just like at any other time in life, when you make those sacrificial decisions in full obedience, he just blesses it beyond
Yeah.
imagination, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. It's something that Chad and I are like currently walking through because we built our dream home, you know, like the house that we're currently in, like we had a say in every single minor detail of this home, like down to every doorknob, every faucet, everything, right? Like we changed the floor plan by 1 foot here and 2 feet there. Like every single thing was intentional. There's scripture written over all of the walls. Like it was literally our dream actualized, and God's hand was in it. But when we did it, we had the vision of this is where we're planting roots. This is where we're going to grow our family. Like this is our forever home. Like we love this, right? And that was what we went in thinking. And then the Lord's like, hey, this is a beautiful season. And I want you to be so grateful for it and so thankful for it. But this is your temporary home. And I was just using this home to get you to your next home. And when I look at it, you know, it really was like a God asking us to surrender this home that we put so much love, effort, and intentionality and money behind and say, okay, God, you can have it back, right? Like we know you're calling us elsewhere. And it honestly, like God was so faithful in this whole journey. And I'll just share more intimate details with you later because I'm not sure when this episode is going live and what's public knowledge and what is not by this point. But his hand has just been over the process in a way where it was like, we didn't even know if we wanted to sell it at first. Cause we're like, well, maybe we can just rent it. So we don't have to, you know, like actually part with it. Right. And God's like kept reminding me of Lot's wife. He's like, I need you to move forward and not look back. And when you look at Lot's wife, she was more attached to what was than what God had for her in the future. And God's like, I need you to keep your eyes forward. And it's not to say, he's not saying this to us, like don't say goodbye and don't be grateful and don't embrace these last moments in the home. Like that's not what I feel like he's saying to us at all. But he is saying, stay focused on what I have for you ahead. And be thankful for what I did in this season. And so it's the beauty of surrender. Because I do think we so often get trapped, whether that's in relationships or jobs or friendships, where it's like, but so much time was put into it, right? Like, how am I supposed to surrender this thing that I put so much time and love and intentionality behind, God? And I always think of this little picture that I saw probably a decade ago at this point. And I'm sure you've seen it, but it's this little girl and she has her little teddy bear that she loves so much. And Jesus is kneeling in front of her saying, will you hand me the teddy bear? Like, will you give me the teddy bear? And she's like, but Jesus, I love this teddy bear. And what we see, but she doesn't see, is he has this huge, ginormous new teddy bear behind his back. And he's just waiting for her to surrender it. And I just remember seeing that, and it actually gave me a lot of peace in letting go of a relationship. It gave me a lot of peace in letting go of a job. And it's like, I always think about this picture. If God's asking me to surrender something to him, it's because he has something greater in store. And the act of surrender might seem super tough in the moment, but it's that temporary suffering to get to a greater joy, right? Because as we are obedient to him, he has a greater joy in store for us. And then I was just reading too, it's like we have the privilege of trusting God and trusting in Jesus Christ, but also in the same sentence, we have the privilege of suffering with him. And so there are moments in our life that will feel like suffering. It's like, man, I got to get rid of this thing. I got to let go of this relationship. And in the moment, that's suffering, like heartbreak and breakups. Like that feels like true suffering sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I look at every breakup that I went through and now I'm so grateful for it because it led to the great joy of my marriage with Chad. And so it's like, man, to our listeners, it's like whatever that thing is that you feel like God is calling you to surrender, even if that means you have to walk through temporary suffering, if it's in obedience to God's call for mm-hmm. you, it's because there is a greater joy that is awaiting you. And so don't focus on the temporary suffering and the temporary surrender, but focus on the fact of like having that expectant joy, because that's the God that we serve.
Mm. Yes, there's a verse that I love to write on all female waitresses' receipts.
Yeah.
And it's Luke 1:45, and it's blessed is she who believed the Lord would fulfill all his promises to her, you know?
Yes.
And I think that, yeah, it's just, it's like we can know that, but then to actually like
put it
into action is another layer of obedience, right? Like, it's like, okay, like, yeah, I understand that, Lord. Yes. And then like, you're in it and you're just like, what's happening?
Yes.
And then, you know, I think that in my opinion is you being humbled, you know, and it's just like, okay, like, am I also going to walk the walk, not just talk the talk? Like if I'm sitting, and my mom has, oh my gosh, for years, even before I was a mother, has put this into perspective for me. She knew how deeply I wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
So she would always tell me like, well, what would you tell your daughter to do? What example would your decisions right now set for your child?
Wow.
And I think it all comes down to like the why behind it too, you know, like why are you choosing to surrender this, right? Like, is it just because you're being told to? Have you like really, like you obviously got that feeling that you needed to surrender whatever it is in your life that you need to surrender. But now it's like, okay, go into it with intentional prayer and quiet time with the Lord. And maybe even, you know, like you said, seek a friend, a sister in Christ, who maybe has walked through that or something similar, and seek counsel about it. Because I think in those moments of surrender, sometimes it can feel really isolating and lonely.
Yeah.
And although I do believe that that is a crucial part of our walk so that we turn to him more.
Yeah.
Right. I also believe that it's so important for us to, you know, seek guidance and counsel and mentorship.
Yes.
And to do that, like you said, very selectively.
Mm-hmm.
That all comes back to, you know, us being willing to share.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what we're going through. I think, oh my gosh, and this is like a little bit of a side note, but Brittany posted the other day, oh my gosh. And I was like, if I could like take one video and have it be like how I feel, this is it. And it was like, whatever tea you have.
Yes. I reposted the same one.
I was like, yes. It's like, whatever tea you have on me, like, talk about it. It's my testimony,
right?
You know? And it's just like, oh, like that release of shame and guilt leaves space for obedience and surrender.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's so good. When she posted that, I was like, I have to repost it right now. It reminded me of another quote that I had seen on Instagram years ago, and I've continually repeated it because it was so impactful. But it was like, you trying to use my past against me is like trying to rob a home I no longer live in. Like, that is not my stuff. So like, sorry, like you can't use it against me. I don't live there anymore. Like that is literally the stuff that God used to show me the depth of his grace, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, as much as, you know, looking back, there was I need to send you this devotional. We did it weeks and weeks ago on our podcast, but it brought me to tears listening to it because it's like, man, as a parent, it really hits you differently. And it's like, okay, if I, right, like had a story, it was like a, gosh, what do you call, like a study group, not a study group, where they like test certain theories on people.
Okay.
Anyways, long story short, they gave like these 10 people this script, and it was like a script of this girl's life, right? And it's like, mm-hmm. you now have 10 minutes to read her story of her life and then go in and edit things how you would like edit things as if this was your daughter. Like if you were reading the story of her life, mm-hmm. and if this was your daughter, how would you edit or delete or change different things? And so their initial response is like, well, I want to take out this hardship. I want to take out this car accident. I want to take out this learning disability. I want to take out all of the hardships that she would ever have to walk through. But it's like, well, man, what if those were the things that drew her into Jesus? Like, what if those were the things that gave her the testimony that impacted thousands? Like, what if those were the very thing that made her who she's going to become? Because our life as Christians is not supposed to look trial free. You know, like our life as Christians, we will, like we are promised that we will go through trials of many kinds, right?
Yeah.
But through Christ, like through the power of Christ, we can count it all as joy because we get to walk through it with Jesus. And I look back at my heartbreaks and my hard times and some of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn. And I'll talk to my mom about this sometimes and I feel so bad because she's like, man, what could have I done differently? Like, and she'll ask me this and it breaks my heart sometimes because she's like, what did I do wrong? Like, how did I not know that you were partying? How did I not know that you were having sex? Like, how did I not know these things? Like, what could I have said differently? And I say, Mama, it's not you. It wasn't you. Like there was nothing that you could have said differently. There's nothing that you could have done differently. Like I had a spirit of rebellion in me that needed to be broken. And I had to meet grace face to face. Like I had to become so aware of how sinful I am left to my own devices and how much I am in need of a savior, like how much I am in need of grace, or I would never be doing what I'm doing today. I would be a judgy Christian who looked at people walking through things and was like, why are you making that decision? Instead of having the empathy that understands what temptation looks like, and then also understanding the beautiful transformation that the Holy Spirit can have if you surrender your life over. And so it's just like, man, as a parent, it's hard because you just want to like shelter your children from suffering. But it's like, man, we truly have to surrender our children to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I will be there for my child no matter what they walk through, even if it's suffering.
Yeah. Amen. And that just brings it to, you know, our children are
His.
They're going to do what we do, not necessarily what we say.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you become a mom and you look back to those times of your life where you were just like in total rebellion. I went through the same exact stuff, through college and end of high school. And like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I just want to protect my daughter. I don't want her to ever, you know, do that. But the best thing we can do as a parent is, like you said, surrender our child to the Lord and equip them in the ways that the Lord is calling us to equip them.
Right.
I think, you know, going back to, you know, just like the hardships that we go through, you know, I think I remember Milena when she shared about her recent miscarriage, she said something that literally it was like, okay, again, it was like, that's it. You know, it's our misery will become our ministry.
Yep.
And
so true.
It just like, I walked through that, you know, with my miscarriage and so many other situations in life, but the most recent, like, gosh, the hardest thing I walked through was that, you know? And I remember telling the Lord, like, in the moment that I, like, the moment I realized, okay, this isn't like implantation bleeding, like this is, I'm like, I'm losing the baby. Mm-hmm. I remember just like putting my hands up and just being like, okay, God, like, use it, like give it purpose, because that's the only thing that's going to get me through it, you know? And it's crazy because like a couple weeks prior, I had prayed for the Lord to further my ministry.
Wow.
You know, it's like in the movie Evan Almighty, when it's like, pray for patience. Do you think God just gives us patience?
Yeah.
Or does he give us an opportunity to choose patience? It's like, right. I'm not saying that this, the miscarriage came from the Lord, but I do know that he's there to pick up the pieces and to carry me through it and to use it as my ministry. And that's exactly what he did almost immediately, you know? And it was just like, and even though I went through that, I still get in situations that are like, I'm like down here, you know, that are like, oh wow. Like my, let's just say for an example, I was really looking forward to this day where I'm going to get my hair done, and my, you know, my hairstylist had to cancel. Oh, like I just need a day for me. And like, you know, like maybe it's Woe something me. Small
yes,
like that,
totally.
But it's still like, it's like to remember it in that moment sometimes is tough.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's having those people around you that maybe can, you know, empathize with you or sympathize, but that also can point you to Jesus and say, and remind you of those things.
Give you perspective for sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a joy to talk to you. I feel like we're going to have to do a part two. I say it like every episode because I'm like, we're going to keep it to like 30, 35 minutes. And it literally never happens because all my girls are just too good. Just so, so good. But thank you just for your wisdom and encouragement. I do want to give you a second just to tell people where they can find you before we wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the main place is on Instagram. My username is still my maiden name. So it might be a little confusing, but it's Maddie, MADIE underscore Burke, BURKE.
Yay. Well, I highly encourage all of you to go follow her. She posts the most incredible, wise things. And so
Thank you, you've been a source
of inspiration for me. And I know that you will be for so many others too. Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I just love her. And as always, don't forget to like, subscribe, share the episode with a girlfriend if you think that it would encourage her. And also don't forget to leave your email address below. There is something in the works that will be coming very shortly, and our email list subscribers will be the first to know. And I'm just saying, there will be a little surprise for you guys who are in that email. So that's all I'm going to say. That will be left below for you guys, but it is very exciting and something I'm very passionate about and excited for. Okay. I love you guys, and I will see you next Tuesday at 2:00.